Now I'd like to read a familiar portion, please, from the Bible in the Gospel of John in chapter 3. I was going to read in the book of Revelation, but I want to read in the Gospel of John. We may refer to some things in the last book of the Bible, but I feel constrained to read this chapter this evening for the preaching of the Gospel. John chapter 3, and we'll read from verse number 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now let's read verse number 16 again. A wonderful verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God, I'm sure, will bless his word and give us help tonight in the preaching of the gospel. John chapter 3 and verse 16, my friend, is a very wonderful verse indeed. I'm sure that this verse has been more used by God than perhaps any other verse in the Bible to bring the great assurance of salvation for anxious souls. It is a verse particularly that I love, because I was saved as a young boy of nearly 12 years of age in the city of London. I listened to the preaching of my father on John 3 and verse 16, and that night I got saved. I heard the message of the gospel, of course, many times. Very especially, I heard John 3 verse 16 in many ways, from many angles, and with different points preached on. I'd heard John 3 verse 16 preached on many times. Maybe I'm speaking to someone tonight, even a young boy or a young girl, and you've heard about God's love. You've heard this wonderful text, John 3, verse 16, preached on. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And yet you're not saved tonight. You've heard John 3, verse 16 many times, but still you're in your sins, and you're going to hell. And you're not going to heaven. You're not saved. I want to tell you, the very first one to speak about God's love was the Lord Jesus himself. I want to tell you too, the very first time that it was preached on by the Lord Jesus a man called Nicodemus got saved, got converted. This man, Nicodemus, a very religious man, a very sincere and upright man, had never heard about the love of God. Indeed, he thought that God's love, if at all he had heard about the love of God in a sense, I correct what I've said or balance what I've said in this way, that he thought that God's love, if God loved at all, why, God loved the Jew. God's love was confined to the Jew. But this must have been a great surprise to him. When he heard for the first time, through the lips of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, that God did not just love the Jew. God's love was not confined just to the Jew. But God's love was a universal love. God so loved the world. And the first time that Nicodemus ever heard the message of the love of God, he believed it, he trusted Christ, and he got saved. What about you tonight, friend? I tell you, there are terrible things in store for this world. Dreadful things are going to happen after the Lord Jesus comes for the church, after the event of the rapture of the church that we spoke on this afternoon. An awful dark period in this world is going to take place. A universal dictator, the devil Superman, is going to arrive on the scene. Oh, there's going to be terrible suffering and woes and judgments upon the world. And I wouldn't like to be here on the earth. I would not. I know that when the Lord comes, he's going to come for me and come for all his true born-again people. And everyone who's saved will go when the Lord comes. And they'll be with the Lord Jesus in heaven. If the Lord were to come tonight and fulfill his promise, would you go? Or would you be left behind? Left on the earth. Friend, I want to tell you tonight, God loves you. God doesn't want you to be on the earth after the rapture of the church. God doesn't want you to go to that dreadful place called the lake of fire. No, 1,000 times no. But listen, if ever anyone here is going to be at the great white throne, that's where you'll be. The only place you can go to from the great white throne will be the lake of fire. But my Savior suffered and bled on Calvary's cross. He was wounded for your transgressions. He died. He shed his precious, precious blood that you might never, never be in that dreadful, eternal lake of fire in eternal suffering from the presence of God. He wants you to be in heaven. He wants you to share the glories and the joy of heaven. Not to be in that dreadful place of woe and eternal darkness and eternal separation. No. Why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, friend. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15, we read about the last assize. We read, when time is no more, and when death has been destroyed, every Christ rejecter, everyone that's not saved, will have to stand before the occupant of that throne, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, the dead, small and great, shall stand before God. I want to tell you, really, there's no way for them to stand on. This great white throne is held in space. And they'll be held there by omnipotent supernatural power to stand before that throne. There'll be nowhere really to stand. There'll be nowhere to go. There'll be no rocks to hide behind. They'll be there, friend, because they never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. The only people who will be at the great white throne are those that were not found written
in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what it says in Revelation 20, verse number 15. Whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. Is your name in the Book of Life? My name is. I have a preacher friend. He lives in America. And he had a friend, a preacher. And this preacher went to an island off the coast of Canada. He wanted to go there and preach the gospel. He'd never been there before. But he felt God was leading him to go to this particular island to preach the gospel. He only knew one Christian who had a name, something like Smith, a very well-known name. And when this preacher arrived on the island, he only had a dime, what they call it, a dime in his pocket. He really felt convinced that he was there to preach the gospel, and he went into a telephone booth. And he looked down all these Smiths. There must have been lots of them. And he lifted up his heart to God in prayer that God would guide him. But that's all he had, a dime. I don't know whether he chose the first one or how far he went down the number of Smiths in the list, but he stopped anyway and put his dime in. And when a man replied at the other end, as he dialed the number, he said to the man, "Have you got your name in any book other than the telephone book?" And back came the reply, "Yes, thank God, it's in the Lamb's Book of Life." Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? You say, how can I get it there? How can I be sure it will be there? I love the words of the hymn writer. "'Twas grace that wrote my name in life's eternal book. 'Twas grace that gave me to the Lamb who all my sorrows took." Look, the moment you take God at his word, believe that Jesus died for you, and respond to the love of God, and trust Christ, your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I assure you, on the authority of the word of God, and the promise of the word of God, you never, never will be at the great white throne. You never, never will be in the lake of fire. You'll never be there. Never. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, are you listening? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen. In John 3, verse 16, we have some wonderful things. We have the greatest theme in all the world. God so loved the world. There's no story, my friend, like the love of God. Oh, it's the greatest story. It's the greatest romance. It's the greatest theme in all the world. The fact that God loves you and the fact that God loves me. For God so loved the world. You know, when I look at the Old Testament, what do I see? The great message of the Old Testament scriptures is this: thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thine heart. But the record of the Old Testament shows us this: man has failed, we have failed, miserably, tragically failed, to love God. That's the message of the Old Testament. Man has failed to love God. What's the message of the New Testament? For God so loved the world. Oh, I may have failed to love God. I have fallen short of his glory. I deserve his punishment. I have sinned, and my sins deserve that I should be in this lake of fire. My sins deserve eternal death, but Jesus died for me. Wonderful to think that God loves me. God loves you. This is why he has given us that last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, especially with all its terrible things. I mean, it tells us terrible things that are going to take place in the earth. Dreadful things in store for this poor world. Why has God told us these things? One great reason, friend, is this: that we might flee from the wrath to come. But he loves us. He loves us. It matters to him about you, you know. Go home with this in your heart tonight. God loves me. The greatest story, the greatest theme in all the world. So in John 3, verse 16, we have the greatest theme in all the world. For God so loved the world. But in John 3 verse 16, we not only have the greatest theme in all the world, we have the greatest token that God could give of his love. For God so loved the world that he gave. My friend, God has given a wonderful token of how much he loves us. God has demonstrated his love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God, says the word of God, commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The fullest and the grandest and the most wonderful display of the reality of God's love, of how much God loves us, is seen at Calvary's cross in the death of the Lord Jesus. Oh, how God loves us, that he was willing to give his Son to that cross in order that the Lord Jesus might suffer in our stead and endure the punishment of sin which we deserve. No wonder Isaiah 53, that other wonderful verse in the Bible, says that he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Friend, God loves you. The greatest theme in all the world, for God so loved the world. The greatest token that God could give in the world of his love, that he gave, oh, he gave his only begotten Son. But John 3 verse 16, this wonderful text, this gospel in a nutshell, as people have described it, and so it is, not only gives us the greatest theme, God's love, the greatest token of God's love, given his Son, but we have the simplest of terms. The simplest of terms. Listen. The Lord Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. Do you want to be saved tonight? Do you want to be sure of heaven and not having to appear before the Lord Jesus among the small and the great at the great white throne and ever go down to that lake of fire? What's the terms? How can you be saved? Whosoever believeth. Tell me, have you ever believed? Have you ever taken God at his word? Do you understand tonight the simple way of salvation? God doesn't say, whosoever worketh. God doesn't say, whosoever trieth. God doesn't say, whosoever prayeth. Whosoever turns over a new leaf. Whosoever does the best he can. Whosoever joins the gospel hall or joins this church or does this or does that. No, no! The gospel is simple and clear. No wonder Cowper the poet said, oh, how unlike the complex works of man is heaven's easy, artless, unencumbered plan. You see, it's for eternity. It's heaven or hell. And God has made the way of salvation so exceedingly plain and simple. So in John 3 verse 16, in this great text about the love of God, the Lord Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So while we have the greatest theme in all the world in John 3:16, and the highest possible token that God could give of his love, here we have the simplest possible terms in all the world. Whosoever believeth. I love the words of the hymn writer. I take him at his word indeed. Christ died for sinners, this I read, and in my heart I find a need of him to be my Savior. Do you want to be saved? Really saved? Do you want to be sure of peace with God? Do you want to be sure of the gift of eternal life, that you're going to be in heaven? Whosoever believeth. You know, I used to give a gospel tract out. And it's a story of a young girl of 16 years of age who lived many years ago. In the early 1900s, when a new Singer sewing machine had just come out, it was revolutionary in those days. But this young 16-year-old girl, she attended a number of gospel meetings just like this. She heard she needed to be saved. She knew she needed to be saved. And Christ was the only way of salvation. And one night she came home from the gospel tent, having heard again about God's love and the way of salvation and the gospel preached. She came home and went into the house and into the big lounge. And there, as she came in, over the fireplace was this little text. Fear not, only believe. Oh, she said, that's my trouble. I don't know how to believe. I want to believe. How do I believe? A little while after that, she was writing to her Aunt Jeannie. And she began the letter. Aunt Jeannie, I believe. She was going to write on, you've got one of these new Singer sewing machines. I believe. She stopped. She said to herself, how can I write this? How do I believe, Aunt Jeannie? Aunt Jeannie has never told me a lie. She always speaks the truth. And if Aunt Jeannie in a letter to me said that she's got one of these new Singer sewing machines, I believe it. Well, she said to herself, if I can believe Aunt Jeannie, can't I believe God? If God in His Word says, whosoever believes shall have everlasting life, shall never perish, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. If God says that, will God tell a lie? God will never tell a lie. There and then, in great simplicity, she believed what God said. You're going to be saved, young friend, or older friend tonight. You must believe what God has said. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, oh, it may be a simple condition. The terms upon which I can be saved and you can be saved and know that you're saved are exceedingly simple. God has made it simple. We have in John 3, verse 16, the simplest possible terms. You say to me, how do I know that I'm saved? Well, it's like the black negro who had gotten saved and was always rejoicing in salvation, you know. And some of the white men used to scoff at him because he was always talking about being saved. And one day, this white negro passed some group of white men with a heavy sack of potatoes on his back, and they said to him, how do you know that you're saved? You're always speaking about being saved. How do you know? And he didn't even look round. He just took two or three steps and he dropped the heavy sack of potatoes, walked two or three more steps and stopped. And he said, shouting, how do I know that I dropped the sack of potatoes? Oh, they said, that's obvious, man. The weight's gone. The burden's gone. He said, that's how I know I'm saved. The burden's gone. The burden. Tell me now, my boy, my girl, dear woman, dear man, meet tonight, has the burden of your sins gone? Has there been a moment in your life when you've trusted Christ, taken God at His word, believed that on the cross of Calvary He suffered and bled for you, rose again to prove it, He's able? Have you trusted Him? Listen, when you trusted Him, the burden went. If tonight you're still burdened down with your sins, you know you're not saved. But people who are saved, why, the weight has gone. The burden has gone. Great, you know, to be saved. Oh, the pressure of sin is a very real thing. And the conviction of sin can cause a person a sleepless night. Can give them great anxiety. There's no doubt about that. But you know, the moment we trust Christ, the burden goes. The burden, the pressure, the weight of our sins. So that's one way, indeed, sure way, that anyone knows that they're saved, because the burden is gone. Whosoever believeth. Will he believe tonight?
You want to be saved?
One man said to me some time ago in preaching a series in gospel services, he said, "Mr. Stubbs, I would give my right hand to know that I was saved." And he meant it. But he's not saved yet. Man in his 50s. I said, "My dear sir, God isn't asking you for your right hand.
Only believe. Salvation to your soul is a free gift from God. We can't work for it. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it." The Bible says in Romans 6, verse number 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And here, in this wonderful text of John 3, verse 16, we have the way of salvation, the assurance of salvation, that apparently claim. God gives us, Christ gives us, the simplest possible terms. Oh, won't you say with the hymn writer tonight, "I do believe, I will believe that Jesus died for me, that on the cross he shed his blood from sin to set me free." The greatest theme, God so loved the world. The highest token of God's love, that he gave his only begotten Son. The simplest possible terms, that whosoever believeth. The greatest possible tragedy, should not perish. What's the greatest possible tragedy in all the world, I'll tell you? P-E-R-I-S-H. Perish. Perish. What does it mean to perish? It means, dear friend, not only to be at the great white throne and know that your name is not in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, but to be cast into the lake of fire. It means to perish in your sin. It means to perish eternally. It means to be away forever and ever and ever from the presence of God, and to be irretrievably and finally and eternally lost. Spell it out to you tonight in the gospel. P-E-R-I-S-H. To perish means P, to pass. E, eternally. R, ruined. I, into. S, sinners. H, hell. To perish means to pass eternally ruined into a sinner's hell. That's your destiny. But it's my task tonight to tell you God loves you. Oh, how he loves you. He loved you before a name was given to you. He loved you before you were born. He loved you before ever he created the world. He loves you today, friend. He doesn't want you to go there. That's why he sent his Son. That's why the Lord Jesus says here in this wonderful text, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." What a guarantee. What a promise. What an assurance. Should not perish. There's a greater tragedy than heart disease. And a killer cancer. Worst of all diseases is light compared to sin. On every part it seizes, but rages most within. There's palsy, plague, and poison, and madness all combined. And none but a believer the least relief can find. Sin is an awful sickness, man. An awful sickness. It's deadly. Ah, but there's a grand cure. There's a grand cure. The blood of Christ can cleanse us from all sin. And God has sent his Son and proved his love, how much he loves you, giving him up to the cross. This is the only way. There's a way back to God from the dark powers of sin. There's a door that is open and all may go in. A Calvary's cross is where you begin. Well, you come as a sinner to Jesus. The greatest theme greatest token, the highest token, the simplest term, the deadliest tragedy, but the richest treasure. What's the richest treasure? No treasure in the world compared to the presence of the Lord Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But how? Here's the treasure. I'm glad I got it tonight. But how? Everlasting life. If you're not saved tonight, you're dead to God. If you're not saved tonight, you have no divine life in you. But God wants to give you the free gift of eternal life. The Lord Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, us preachers like to witness to as many people as possible and give them a gospel tract and tell whether they're doctors or lawyers or undertakers or whatever. And there was one such preacher next to an undertaker in this funeral car, burying a friend, and he said to the undertaker in the car, in the funeral car, he said, what do you suppose Christ meant in the Bible but when he said, let the dead bury their dead? Well, the undertaker looked at him as if he were silly. He said, in the Bible, he said? Well, it doesn't make sense. How can dead people bury dead people? Well, he said, this person we're burying here today is dead to the family, dead to friends, dead to the world, physically dead. He said, but you know, there's such a thing in the Bible as spiritual death. People are spiritually dead. Ephesians 2 verse 1, he quoted to him. Dead in trespasses and sins. Makes sense, you see. Spiritually dead people burying physically dead people. Let the dead bury the dead. But you know, it worried this undertaker. He got home and he read these words of Christ. And then he discovered that indeed he was a lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner. And really he was spiritually dead. You know what happened? He trusted Christ. He believed the gospel. And he got saved. Make pretty good headline news for some newspapers looking for a story, wouldn't it? Dead undertaker gets life. But that's just what happened. That's just what happened. Do you want to get life tonight? Do you want eternal life? Do you want this rich treasure? There's no treasure to compare to it. All the diamonds in the world, all the gold in the world, all the silver, everything the world can offer you, my dear friend, is nothing. Night, really, whatever you have in the bank, however rich a man is, if he's not saved, she's not saved, they're paupers. I have Christ, what want I more? I've got this free gift, friend, this great treasure. I possess it. Do you? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But have what a treasure. Everlasting life. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank thee for this simple and yet profound verse from the Word of God. We thank you that the Lord Jesus preached about God's love and how people can be saved very simply by believing. We know that men try to do everything but accept thy word and believe thy terms. And we don't know just who is here in the meeting. People, young or old, in the meeting tonight might realize they need to be saved. Maybe they have stumbled over the way of salvation and wonder how to get it. Oh, Father, we pray that they will take thee at thy word and that they will respond to thy great love and believe on the Lord Jesus. And have this great treasure of eternal life. Bless thy word, we pray. We thank thee for such a glorious Saviour. We thank thee that he suffered for our sins, died in our room and in our stead, rose again. He's a living Saviour as well as a loving Saviour. May someone trust him tonight in his precious name.